You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be in church today. What an incredible morning we're having already. What incredible worship and praise. Wow. I want to really talk to everybody today about the baptism. You know, we've heard an incredible message last week by Renu, who got baptized today. And she talked about baptism, but I really want to talk about the outcomes of baptism today. And there's four questions, four really, really big questions that I actually want to take on and tackle with the word of Jesus Christ today, because the word of God is all truth. And when you know the truth shall set you free. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And when you hear his truth, it releases God's freedom into your lives. And that's what I pray this morning. Father God, I pray over every single person here today that as we listen to your truth this morning, you will release freedom into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirits. And as we come into agreement with your truth, we walk in that freedom. It's because of you, Jesus. It's because of the cross. It's because of your great love for us. That's why we're here, because we love you, because you first loved us. So we worship you and we listen to your truth this morning. Who is the truth? It's you, Jesus. It's you. So what are those big questions this morning? As humankind, we all have these questions over our lives that come into our heart, these questions that come into our mind. And it's the first question is, where do I come from? What is my value? What is my identity? Where do I come from? Number two, what does my life really mean? What is the meaning of my life? What is it that I'm here to do? What does life really mean? Number three, how do I distinguish between good and evil? There's so much information in our world, but what is truth? How do I discern what is good and what is evil? And number four, what happens when I die? What happens to a human being when he or she dies? What really happens? Because I know I've had so many conversations with people that this is a question that they ponder over in their mind and heart. What happens to a person when they die? And through the word of Jesus Christ, who is all truth today, we're going to take on these four questions today and see truth become revealed and truth be made known. You know, there were rare times where the heavens opened up and God spoke. When Jesus was on the earth, the voice of God was rare. But to the Jews, God was so distant because of this. They believed it was only a far away echo of the voice of God that they actually heard. So at the baptism of Jesus, God's voice was to become distant no longer. Jesus heard the voice of God completely and directly, but ushered the way for us all through the Spirit, making your heart his home. Where do I come from? We see this in the scriptures in John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. Then as John, this is an incredible scripture, then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words. I, John, see the Spirit of God appear like a dove descending from the heavenly realm and landing upon Jesus. And it rested upon him from that moment forward, never to depart. Never had they seen this before. The Spirit of God, the heavens were open, and John with his own eyes was seeing this dove, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, resting upon Jesus. What did that mean? God's presence was resting upon Jesus and making him known right in this moment. And even though John says, I've yet to experience him, when I was commissioned to baptize with water, God spoke these words to me. So this was before the baptism of Jesus. God has already spoken to John what was to come. He said to him, John, one day you will see the Spirit descend and remain upon a man. He will be the one I have sent to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And now, John says, I have seen with my own eyes. I have seen with my own discernment. Such clarity has been revealed to me. I've had the words of my Father that one day I would see a man that the Spirit of God would rest upon. But John the Baptist is saying right in this moment, this is words and prophecy no longer. I'm seeing it in actual reality. It's happening. Prophecy has been revealed. And now I have seen with discernment, I can tell you for sure that this man that I am baptizing, this man that the Spirit is resting upon, this man that the heavens have been opened up to, he is in fact the Son of God. Where do I come from? What is my identity? You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That is your identity this morning. John was looking for this man. He was looking for the identity who was to be the Son of God. John says that he did not know Jesus. Now, John was a relation of Jesus and he must have been acquainted with Jesus. What John is saying is not that he did not know who Jesus was, but that he did not know what Jesus was. It had suddenly been revealed to John that this Jesus was none other than the Son of God. Not only was Jesus to be identified, the identity of the Son of God was revealed to John. Something had happened at the baptism of Jesus which had convinced John beyond all doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. John saw it and he was utterly convinced. John 1:32. This is not John the Baptist now, John the Apostle. Then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words, I see the Spirit of God appear like a dove descending from the heavenly realm and landing upon Jesus. And it rested upon him from that moment forward, never to depart. The rabbis in Jewish days used to say that the Spirit of God moved and fluttered like a dove over the ancient chaos, breathing order and beauty into it. The picture of the dove was one which the Jews knew and loved, and the dove was protected. It was at the baptism that the Spirit came upon Jesus with power. We need to remember that at this time, at this place of history, the realization of the Spirit, the Spirit that could remain and abode on a person, was not known or had come into being. When John was speaking of this, he was thinking of what he knew in Jewish terms. And they had three basic ideas, that the Spirit was power. The Spirit was power, power like a mighty rushing wind. They thought the Spirit was life, the very soul and essence of life, and that the Spirit was God. The Spirit was beyond mere human achievement and attainment. You see, they realized that even though they knew of the Spirit, it was away from them. They couldn't be close to it. It couldn't remain. They didn't have this understanding. But baptism broke the barriers of proximity. You know, in life, in psychology, they call this term the anchoring effect. It means that you might have some information that has been established in your mind and heart. It's anchored in your mind and heart. And when new information comes to you, you're posed with a choice. Am I going to let this new information come in and challenge this anchoring old information that I have? Or am I going to allow this new information to come in and challenge the old information so I can make way to make room for the new? And this is what the Jews had to decide right at this time. This is how I know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that we know about. It's something that breathes life, but I can't be close to it. It can't remain in me. But here, Jesus at his baptism was breaking the proximity of what they knew in their time. And what Jesus was saying is that the Spirit has broken through onto earth, and it now remains upon the one who is the Son of God. The Spirit of God was ushered into the earth, no longer to be at distance, but to be and remain upon his people. The baptism is powerful. The Spirit of God was ushered into this earth to remain upon a man. I walk and I carry the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit came upon Jesus, John experienced the Spirit of God not with distance, but personally, face to face. He saw it. He heard the words that were coming from heaven. Now at the baptism, in the most unique way, the Spirit came upon Jesus. And he came upon him from that in which he had never come upon any other person before in history. Most men have experiences with the Spirit, moments of extraordinary power and superhuman courage, but these moments, they come and they go. But John goes out of his way to point out that the Spirit stayed, abode, and dwelt on Jesus. Here was no momentary inspiration. In Jesus, uniquely, the Spirit took up his permanent abode, and the mind and the power of God were now uniquely in Jesus. So what was the reason? Why did John need to baptize Jesus? So the Father, at this right appointed time in history, could reveal to all the world who Jesus really was. To reveal the Spirit of God upon a person on the earth. Jesus was the Son of God. And what was the revelation that God brought this truth to light? It was the prophecy. God said to John that a man will come in front of you, and when you see the Spirit of God rest upon him and remain, you know that this is the Son of God. God is proving his words of truth through the Word of God. It's not just information, it's truth backed by the Word of God. John 1:33. And even though I've yet to experience him, John the Baptist says, when I was commissioned to baptize with water, God spoke these words to me. One day, John, you will see the Spirit descend and remain upon a man. He will be the one. He will be the one I have sent to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And now, John says, I have seen clearly. I have seen with discernment. I can tell you for sure that this man is Jesus, the Son of God. He's not just my cousin. This Jesus, whom I know, is the Son of the Most High God. God spoke to John. And what was the truth? God's voice confirming it to Jesus, and John heard it too. This was not just isolated to Jesus's ears. John heard the words of the Father breaking through heaven. This is my Son, whom I take great delight in. Jesus' origin and identity was the Son of God. His value was the hope for all humanity, spoken by the voice of God. And from that day, he knew what his life really meant because it was confirmed by the truth of God. Where do I come from? You come from your Father's words. You come from God. His voice tells us, Ephesians 2:10, where do I come from? For we are the product of his hand. We are the product of His hands. Heaven's poetry has been etched on all of our lives. We have been created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. That's our identity. That's our origin. That's our value. We've been arranged to do good works. We are not alone. Why? Because the Spirit of God now remains in us, and it is the Spirit of God who does the good works through you. Number two, what does life really mean? Luke 3:21, the baptism of Jesus. Then God's audible voice was heard saying, "My son, you are my beloved one. Through you I am fulfilled. This is my son, chosen and marked by my love. He is the delight of my life." Because of the voice of God, you can know. Jesus knew who he was and knew the meaning of what his life really meant. That you don't have to be alone on this earth. You can have assurance of who you have been called to be and what you mean in this world. Son, daughter, child, parent, you are valued this morning. You are his beloved one. And truth has been ushered into your life through the Spirit. God spoke it into reality. Jesus was the Son of God. For John, baptism was one of repentance, but for Jesus, it was a baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit that was now to remain upon him in every area of his life. The Spirit of God who would guide Jesus, counsel him, comfort him, that this power of the Most High God has now been ushered onto earth upon Jesus. He's carrying the power. He's carrying the comfort of God. He's carrying the counsel and the truth and the knowledge of Almighty God. Jesus is now carrying that because of the Spirit of God that remains upon him. In this moment, it was a moment of decision for Jesus. It meant that the sign had come to transition from who he was and who he was to become. For 30 years, Jesus had stayed in Nazareth, being incredibly faithful, and the outcome was that Jesus was a servant. For a long time, he must have been conscious that the time for him to go out had come. He must have waited for a sign, and for him, for Jesus, John was the emergence of that sign. This was the moment to launch out upon his task. The decision was confirmed by revelation, by God's voice. It was the Spirit that gave him the ability to understand the right way to go. In this moment, it was a moment of identification for the timing of Jesus. In this moment of time, there was an incredible movement where God, where the people were coming back to God. And with that Godward movement, he was determined to identify himself. Not for his own sake, but for the sake of others. It was a movement that was happening outside of the temple because the temple was going to become to the individual. The Holy Spirit was going to remain within you and with I because of the power of the Spirit remaining upon Jesus. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you carry the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. You have his comfort. You have his guidance. You have his power and his might and his ability. And I don't want to do life without the Spirit of God because I love him. He is God in mind revealed into our hearts. You are carriers of his presence. You are carriers of heaven. You are carriers of truth. Do you realize that you are carriers of the mind of God? That's what you carry. When John says that Jesus will baptize men with the Holy Spirit, he means that Jesus can bring God's Spirit to us in such a way that we are soaked in it, that life is permeated with it, that we are saturated with the Spirit of God, that our mind, our life, our being is flooded with the Spirit of God, the truth of God. Jesus was bringing God to a broken world to bring transformation. When the Spirit of God is in you, your life is now illumined. you become a beacon of life. Through you becomes the knowledge of God. The will of God becomes clear to you. He knows what God's purpose is and what life means because the Spirit of Almighty God has revealed to it and made it known. And because of this, his life is strengthened. When the Spirit of God comes in you, your life is strengthened. The Spirit gives us not only knowledge to know the right, but also the strength and the power to do the right. It brings revelation into your life. God will give you a sign for the next season. When it's your time to move into that next season, God will bring a sign. You are not alone with information or confusion. God will bring the assurance and the confidence of a sign when it is your time to be identified. It changes our prayer. That's what the Spirit of God does. When He comes into a life, it changes our prayer from words of formality. Our prayers for the Spirit become the desperate cry of the human heart because we know our need for Him. Romans 8:26 says it like this, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know what to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has the mind of God, rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs, too deep for words, things that we could never convey. Why did we need the Holy Spirit to reside within us? What was the reason? Why did we need the Holy Spirit to reside within us? We needed it because we needed to have the mind of Christ. And with this truth, when you know the truth shall set you free. The real issue is dealt with and our lives are transformed. You know, there was this lady and she was very, very sick and she had cancer. And there was a pastor and the pastor knew this lady. And one night he was in bed at night and he got this phone call. And the phone call said, can you please come and pray for this lady? She's so sick. Can you come straight away? So he quickly got out of bed and put his clothes on and he went to this lady's house. But when he arrived there, there was 25 to 30 other pastors there in the room. And he said to God, overwhelmed by all the prayer warriors in the room, what is it that I'm needed here for, God? I think you've got enough people to pray for this woman. I could have stayed in bed. And the Holy Spirit said to him, if you will do what I ask you to do, I'm going to put truth into your heart, into your spirit. If you will activate that truth, if you will step into that truth, if you will speak out what I've asked you to speak out, this woman is going to get healed and set free in front of your eyes. And he said, okay, Holy Spirit, because you know, when the mind of God wants to give you real truth, your ears are suddenly open to the one who created the heavens and the earth. And he listened and the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to go up to this lady and I want you to lie over her legs. And he's like, what? See, she was in a lazy boy chair because she was so ill. She was so weak and frail. And she was laying back in this chair. And now the Holy Spirit was saying to him in front of 25 to 30 other pastors and men of God in the room, can you come as a male and lay yourself over this female's legs and pray in the Holy Ghost? And he's like, no way. No way am I doing that. No way. I love you, Jesus. And no way. And the Holy Spirit kept coming back to him with this truth. You see, we might start with information and we might be hinged to that information, but we have a choice in this moment. Am I going to stay anchored to the old information or am I going to make way for the information and the truth of the knowledge of God because the Holy Spirit wants to bring transformation? You got to look in the room. Nothing is happening. She's not getting up out of that chair. She hasn't been transformed. The Holy Spirit is invading information with truth, invading sickness with power. And it wants to come through you and through me. And so finally he relented and he told everybody in the room to shut their eyes because he was going to pray. I probably would have done the same thing too. So he prays this almighty prayer, and while everybody's eyes are shut and eyes are closed, he quickly walks over to the lady and very carefully lays himself over her legs and starts praying in the Spirit of God. You see, he didn't know what to pray for. He really didn't know the origin of what was going on to her sickness. Was it cancer or was it something more? You see, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like a Tupperware container. There might be a lid and you can't see what's inside that Tupperware container. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. He lifts the lid so you can see what's on the inside of what you can't see in the natural. And when you start to speak in the Spirit, God starts praying through you and starts to reveal truth into the situation where you couldn't see clearly. And as she started, as he started praying for her, suddenly these noises came out from her and she went, oh, 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 oh. And he must have been thinking, what is going on? Am I too heavy for her legs? Am I hurting her right now? She's in pain. Am I doing the wrong thing? But no, there started to become groans and cries that were coming deep within her spirit and deep from her heart. And she started to say, why did you leave me? Dad, why did you leave me? Her sister's name came and said, why did you leave me? Why have people all my life left me? You see, what the Spirit was doing was revealing truth of what nobody knew in the room, but what only the mind of God could reveal. The issue was never cancer. The issue was rejection. She had been left and dismissed and rejected her whole life by family members that had died. And suddenly truth was being revealed. And he was able to pray specifically, accurately, what the Holy Spirit wanted to pray. His word never returns void. His word is truth and always meets its target. You know that when the Holy Spirit prays through you, he prays with accuracy to the most minute detail of what it is that we cannot see in our human eyes. He sees what only God sees. Do you know what that tells me? God sees you accurately. Right down to the most minute detail, God sees you this morning and wants to bring transformation to your life. She got healed of that rejection. She was totally set free. And 3 days later, it was confirmed that her cancer had totally left her body. It wasn't cancer that was eating her body. It was brokenness of rejection that was eating her body, and symptoms had grown and layered to a point of cancer. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth to you to the most minute detail. Why? To bring transformation to a world that is dying with cancer. Number three, how do I distinguish between good and evil? We have so much information. I've been studying this for weeks now, and this thought has just been resonating within my spirit and my heart and my mind. How do I distinguish in this world between good and evil? People have their perception of truth. People have their perception of what is right. People have their idea of what is good. But how do people distinguish between what is good and what is evil? We live with so much information, but what are our spiritual beliefs, our morals, and our values? What are they based on? I can have truth that's based on my perception. I can have truth that's based on my experience, but I might put that truth onto you and it might do the opposite to you of what it's done to me. And I could be bringing you harm by my perception, but my experience of what I say is good, and it actually starts to harm you. Where is our moral compass based upon? Where is it leading to? Because there is so much information, but this is the role of the Spirit of God. He goes on a journey with us and he guides our information to Jesus Christ, who is all truth, and sets perception free and sets experience free, that you would come into the true knowledge of the truth of God. We see so many perceptions at the moment, so many experiences, and as those perceptions grow, as those ideas and belief systems of individuals grow, what's going to happen in our culture is chaos. Because they've taken God out of the picture and therefore they've taken the truth out of the picture. Truth cannot be based on information. It has to be based on God, who is good and gave his life for us so that you could have eternal life and victory over every circumstance. Luke says it like this. Truth has never been so important at this moment in time. Amen. So much information, but we need truth. Jesus answered, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter." You know, I went to the shops the other day and I was confronted. I was okay with the toilet paper, but I was not ready for the confrontation of all the aisles being cleaned out. And I had this moment where this fear started to come upon me, and it started with anxiety. And I saw this scripture. Jesus answered, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter." You see, the apostles at this time, they had information. They had the reality of fishing all night and not catching anything. But when Jesus came with his word to let down their nets another time and they caught an abundance of fish, we know that the truth of Jesus had set experience and information free. Jesus answered, "Do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter, because I am the truth. When I want to bring abundance, I will bring it where there is lack." 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm." Put the toilet roll paper down. Calm and well-balanced mind and self-control and discipline. No, you can't have 10 cans. You can only take 2 at the moment. The sign was clear. You know what I think's interesting about this time? There's never been such an opening to talk to your neighbour. In the shopping centre right now, I'm taking every single opportunity to have a chat. When somebody is going, "I just cannot believe what's going on here," I just join straight in with them. "I can't believe it either. It's just crazy, isn't it? People all this over toilet paper." And we get into this conversation. There has never been such an opening to break down barriers, to talk to your neighbour. Sometimes we need to understand and discern the signs of our times, of what we are living in. Let's see what God's doing. The spirit of fear is creating chaos, but let's just see what the spirit of God's doing. What does the spirit of God do in relation to lack? He brings abundance. We need the truth. Matthew 4:4, he answered, the scripture said, "Bread alone will not satisfy." The material things of this world will not satisfy. It's the world's answer, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes from God's mouth. John 1:14, let's hear about the truth. "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." John 8:32, "For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives." Truth is not based on feeling, family of origin, perspective or experience. It is based on Jesus Christ, who is all truth. He is my moral compass to my feelings, my perspectives. He is my experiences. He is the one, my point of origin, that I always come back to for truth. Truth confirmed. Let's look at the prophetic confirmation from the Old Testament about Jesus. This is what Isaiah was saying in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't even been born yet. Isaiah says, here is my servant whom I uphold. I'm getting very excited. "My chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him," Isaiah says, "and he will bring justice to the nations." Truth confirmed in John 1. "Then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words, 'I see the Spirit of God appear like a dove descending from the heavenly realm, landing upon him,' and it rested upon him from that moment forward." Truth confirmed. Let's look at the prophetic confirmation again. "You are my beloved sons." This is in Psalm 2:7. "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I become your father. Then we see it in the New Testament in Luke. Then God's audible voice, this is my son, my beloved one. Through you I am fulfilled. We are seeing truth revealed. It's not just declaration. It's not just prophecy. It's not just information. It's become truth because it's happened in reality. Therefore, in his baptism, Jesus realized first that he was the Messiah. He was God's anointed king. And second, what he was to do to bring truth to all mankind. So what was the reason? What is the reason for God's truth? Well, it's the revelation to release more freedom into your lives, to distinguish between what is good and what is evil. And what's the truth for our lives? Direction. He's a lamp unto your feet and he is a light unto your path. Jesus is God's answer to your predicament. Jesus is God's answer to your predicament and mine in providing the way and truth and redemption and giving us the greatest answer for all mankind. It's the cross. Number four, what happens to a human being when he or she dies? What is our destiny? What is our destiny when we die? What happens? So many times I've had this conversation with people, and don't think that it doesn't go over our minds and our hearts. But I'm going to tell you today, when you have the assurance of Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the hope and the assurance of eternity to be with him. In this moment of seeing his destiny, Jesus answered this question. The voice of God came to him and told him, Jesus, you have made and taken the right decision. But more, far more, that very same voice mapped out all his course for him. Therefore, in his baptism, Jesus realized first that he was the Messiah, God's anointed king, and second, that this involved not power, not glory, not a throne on earth, but suffering and a cross. The cross did not come on Jesus unawares. From that first moment of realization, he saw it ahead. Jesus is God's answer to your predicament and mine in providing the way of redemption and giving us the answer of the cross. John 3:16, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten son, so that whoever believes and trusts, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction or be lost or separated, but have eternal an everlasting life with God our Father. The baptism shows us Jesus asking for God's approval and receiving the destiny of the cross. Jesus will conquer, but the conquer will be the conquest of love. Truth was trying to be perverted, but his word, his truth, will remain forever. When Jesus was on the cross, taunts were flung at him by passers-by, by the Jewish authorities. And they all centered around one thing, the claims that Jesus had made and his apparent helplessness on the cross. It was precisely there that the Jews were so wrong. They were using the glory of Christ as a means of mocking him. Come down, they said. Come down. If you're the king, come down and we will believe in you. But it's precisely because he would not come down that we believe in him. The Jews could see God only in power, but Jesus showed that God is sacrificial love for you and for me. Romans 8:31, more than conquerors, who will bring any charge? Come down, Jesus. Come down. If you are the king that you proclaim yourself to be, come down and we will believe upon you. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, no fear, neither height nor depth nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our truth, our Lord. Matthew 27:46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The depths of the pain that Jesus Christ went to for you and I, to know and understand what it was like to feel deserted, to feel abandoned, to feel isolated, but yet he clung to God so that he could take every pain upon his body. Why? So you and I could be free from it all in that moment. When you feel deserted, when you feel abandoned, you are not alone. Jesus went through that experience so he could identify with what it means to you when you feel that there is no hope and God has left you. Jesus did that for you and for me to identify with you. You are not alone. No matter the valley, no matter the mountain, no matter the seas, no matter of the experiences that we go through, they're not irrelevant. But God knows what you're going through because if he's experienced it so he could understand you. For you, he was on the cross. For you, he suffered the taunts so he could identify you. The power of the cross. The power of the cross. Because of you, Jesus, you took every pain, you suffered it all. You took the sin of mankind on the world, every disease you bore upon your body so that we could live. It's you, Jesus. That's why I follow you. Hear me, Jesus, that's why I follow you. My whole life is for you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Why did he plunge to the depths of human experience? So that there might be no place that we might go where he has never been before. What is the outcome of baptism? It's the revelation of the cross. He saw the cross. He saw the cross. It was confirmed that this, what he was to go through for you and for I, he could have come with splendor. He could have come with majesty and a throne, yet he took the cross because all he saw was you. He knew the Father and he never wanted you to be separated from goodness and truth and mercy and victory. That you would never know the sting of death. That you would never know the sting of death, but eternal life. And the truth is, we will never be separated from his love when Jesus is in our hearts. Because of the cross, we're never separated. There was this lady, and I close with this. She was pregnant, and her and her husband were expecting their first child, and suddenly her husband dies. And the incredible grief and the incredible torment in this moment, to the point that she was put in isolation because of this cancer that she was experiencing in her brain. It gave her such incredible migraines that the sensitivity to light, the sensitivity to touch was just unbearable. Her brand new baby that had been born could never even touch his mother's feet for years because of the cancer that was eating her body. And she heard the doctors talking one day and said, "We need to send her to an institution. There's nothing more that we can do for this lady." And as she sat in this hospital room, all alone, feeling abandoned, angry and bitter for God taking her husband, she felt so alone that right in this moment, she heard this voice It was on the radio that never played, but there comes this voice on the radio next to her bed. Hello there, I have a message to you from God. You who feel that your face is turned to the wall, no hope and you want to die, I have a message for you. And suddenly she hears this worship. Jesus breaks every chain and he sets me free. And in that moment, she was totally healed of cancer, totally healed of migraines, totally healed of the anger and the bitterness. When she went back to church, she gave her testimony. And people asked, how could God operate on her brain without leaving a trace of him being there? No scars? And she went home and asked God about this. There's no scars. I can't see what you've done to heal me. What is it that you've done? And this is what God said to her through the Spirit of God. No scars? Yes, scars. Not on your head, but on my hands. Jesus had been there. He went to the cross so that you could have victory. So that you